Oh.
Okay, so I am going to mute everyone's phone, and I will go into the introduction. I will go into the introduction. Hold on. All right. So I want to welcome everyone to another Black Violence Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, for the guests on the call, for those who do not know. I want to just give you, an outline of how we operate the town hall meetings so that everyone is on the same page. So as you noticed when you came on the call, I greeted you, as brother or as a sister. And the reason we address each other as brother and sister is out of a show of respect and solidarity. During the town hall meetings, we do not discuss religion. We do not discuss the black male and female dynamic. And we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation. But we don't want to get into which party did this and which party didn't do that and so on and so forth. The reason why is because these are all opinion-based topics and we'll be here all day going around and around in circles, and no one will be right and no one will be wrong. For the guests that are on the call, just in case you haven't watched the blueprint, let me just give you a little bit about what this organization, let me tell you a little bit what this organization is about. So Black Violence Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion last year. So if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. The purpose of the member association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the black community and are motivated to take action. So if you're wondering, what could a group of like-minded brothers and sisters do together? So let's just think about the power of our black wallets for a moment, right? When I say black wallets matter, it doesn't necessarily mean we need to spend our black dollars all the time. It could mean that we withhold our black dollars from businesses and entities that do not respect our patronage or have our best interests in mind. For those who don't know, black Americans, we are the biggest spenders in the American economy. We're something, if you were to aggregate all the money we spend throughout the world, we would be the 10th largest economy, and that's worldwide, right? So imagine if we were able to unite, and let's say we boycotted a certain business. We could bring that business to their knees, and realistically speaking, that's the kind of action that we need, right? So every time one of ours get killed, one of our unarmed brothers and sisters get killed, we need to band together and kill off one of their businesses, right? So let the impact of that, sink in for a minute. America fully understands economics. And once we show them that we understand how it works too, they'll get the message and they'll stop messing with us. They'll come to the table and bargain and deal with us on a respectable level. Just to let you guys know how impactful, boycotting is, recently Target, Kellogg's, and United Airlines were boycotted by various groups in the country, and they lost billions of dollars. And due to those boycotts, they came to the table with each of the groups that boycotted with them, and they tried, they made concessions with their policies and changed their practices. So if we were able to do something similar, and let's say such and such business, we decided to withhold our black dollars until police stopped hassling people in, where was the Philando Castile thing in Minneapolis or Minnesota or somewhere like that? Let's say we were to withhold our dollars from Target is actually based there, right? They are very powerful in Washington, and we would be able to say, we're not supporting that business anymore until you guys change your policy. And you can believe Target has a very powerful voice in Washington, and they would work on our behalf to make things happen. So, those are the kind of strategies that we are going to have to use as an association. And we got to be smart about who we choose, though, right? So the company has to be large and powerful enough to have political influence, but their products and their services need to be able to be easily replaced so that we could provide alternatives to our people when we tell them to stop supporting them. You know, unfortunately, we're not built like our people in the 50s and the 60s, where they would walk miles instead of taking the bus or just do without. You know, our people, if they, you know, if they need their Pop-Tarts, they got to get their Pop-Tarts. So we got to provide them alternative places, right? We're during this town hall meeting, we discuss a wide range of topics that affect the Black community. We open the floor up and we allow some people to come on, and we allow them to express some of the things that are on their minds. But we want everyone to know at the onset that the priorities of this organization are the priorities that are outlined in the blueprint. And the issues that we aim to address is Black poverty, which affects over 70% of single Black mothers, Black unemployment, which is more than 50% as compared to 9% white, and this recent wave of racially motivated police brutality. The reason why we want to address these issues specifically is because we feel that by addressing the Black poverty and the Black unemployment, that will strengthen the Black family, that will also change the values and the morals of our children, which will provide future generations of more productive and upstanding young Black men and women, which will eventually grow to become productive Black men, Black adults. The police brutality, I mean, that's self-explanatory, right? We're tired of being picked on. We have to let them know that we're drawing a line in the sand. They're just running over us right now. The way that we plan on addressing these issues, as a member association, Black Wallets Matters collects membership dues. We are not a nonprofit organization. We'll be structured as a B corporation, which is a benefit corporation, as soon as we meet the revenue requirement. Benefit corporations are businesses that exist for the sole purpose of helping or serving a particular group of people. So Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the Black community. Memberships start at $10 at the silver level, $25 at the gold level, and $50 at the platinum. Our goal within the next 3 to 5 years is to get 1 million association members. With 1 million members, the organization will generate something over $300 million a year in revenue. And with that kind of revenue, we can get a $1 or $2 billion loan, and we could buy large-scale manufacturing businesses and plants and supermarket chains, and we can employ hundreds and thousands of our brothers and sisters. With the profits, from the profits of these large-scale businesses, the goal is to create community resource centers in major Black cities to provide educational and occupational training to help more of our brothers and sisters enter the job force with good-paying jobs and become like skilled tradesmen. So that's like plumbing, plumbers, electricians, truck drivers, carpenters, welders, things like that, where people are able to learn a skill and actually get out there and provide for their families. These community resource centers will also provide a safe place for our youth to go instead of hanging out on the streets and getting in trouble. And while they're there, while the children are at the community resource center, they'll learn about their history, right? Because so a lot of us say that the schools are teaching a false history and they're not doing it. It's really not the school's responsibility. It's our responsibility. So we are accepting that. So we will teach our children about their history, but they, in addition to that, they will we will also train them in other skills like computer programming and give them financial literacy and things like that, so that as they get older, they'll have a solid foundation, to use to grow and become productive members of society. And all of this will be funded from profits of the businesses that we buy. Another segment of the profits will go towards hiring lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights. This will make it harder for law enforcement to kill our unarmed brothers and sisters and get away with it. This strategy will work because other groups in this country have successfully used laws that were put on the books to protect, put on the books for us to protect their members. So it's time we start doing the same. So for instance, the Jewish community, the LGBT community, this immigration, this thing that happened with Trump and the immigration recently, the ACLU within 1 weekend was able to raise $24.1 million, and they were able to block Trump, block his executive order. So that's the power when you put your money where your mouth is, when you put your money towards the right lawyers and the right lobbyists. So these are very lofty goals, and you know they'll take some years to achieve. So in the interim, we want to get the ball rolling, and we want to have a quick win, and we want to be able to show progress. So our current campaign is to get 2,000 founding members, right? With the 2,000 founding members, from the membership dues we collect, we can create our first business. I call it a proof element. And the reason why is because we all know many of our brothers and sisters are skeptical. You know how it is of black people. They're looking at what's going on. So there's been this big thing with Umar Johnson. Everyone's like, oh, he's raising money, but no one knows what's going on with the money. And so I've had people express the same concerns about this organization. And so, you know, and I let them know. I'm like, well, listen, this organization is nowhere near the type of numbers like Umar Johnson raised. We have 140, hold on, I will tell you right now. We have 141 members as of today. With the revenue that we generate from 141 members, we do not even have enough to cover the cost of operating this association. So there is no sleight of hand going on or no funny business going on. For those who come on the call every week, they know that each week we have a ton of new guests. And so for all those who are new on the call, you guys know that you saw a post or you saw something on Facebook, you know, you got an email or whatever it is. That's all marketing. That all costs. We started out, it was about six of us, and then it grew to about eight of us. So there's like eight core diehard members who have been on these calls like since the beginning. And you know, so we have about 30-something people on now, and by the end of this night, it'll probably be about 60 or whatever. It costs money to get all you guys on the call. And so the shortfall comes out of my pocket. So there's no funny business going on. But still in light of that, what we want to say is that we want to create something for the black community. And we want to show, we want to be selfless. And so basically we create this business and then we show the rest of the community, look how a group of unrelated brothers and sisters from all over the country came together, pooled their resources, and created this business or created this thing to benefit you, right? So basically we're showing them that we love you even though you don't know us. And by committing such a selfless act, we believe that that will raise the visibility of this organization, and it will create a snowball effect where more of our brothers and sisters will want to join us and help us build the next phase of our plan. So as I said, this proof element, it will be a business. For those of you who watched the blueprint, the plan was to build a shopping portal and a shopping app. That's very expensive, close to $100,000, right? So about $80,000-some. Again, like I said, we are nowhere near to that in terms of monthly revenue. So what we are going to do in the interim is launch another business called the Black Wall Street Project. And this Black Wall Street Project will help help people who come into our ecosystem, will help them either grow their business or start a business. Right, but the caveat is your business has to reinvest or, you know, contribute to the black community. A lot of times, you know, our brothers and sisters say, oh, we need to buy black, we need to support black businesses. But if those businesses aren't recontributing back to the black community, then like, what's the point? Well, they're taking the money out of the black community as well. So our goal is to help people start their business or grow their business. And then, you know, they will be either become association members or they would become, you know, members of the Black Wall Street Project. And then what we would do is we would contribute, you know, to grow our business, you know, grow the Black Wallets Matter movement to the next stage. But they would be able to benefit from this. So Let me see. I think that is pretty much, that pretty much sums up everything that we're doing now. I usually like to give the stats for the week, right? So we're holding steady at about 3 million, 3.5 million exposure. That's the same, you know, that's where we were with our exposure last week. We're down from the high of 7 million. And the reason why is because I've been posting a lot more positive comment content. For those, you know, some of you who see the content that we post on our Facebook page, you know, sometimes we post something that may be ratchet or a little controversial. And the reason why is because our brothers and sisters, you know, they don't want the positive content. That stuff doesn't, it doesn't get as many shares. It doesn't get as many likes. It doesn't get as many comments. But the more controversial stuff does. So what we do is we piggyback our message of positivity on the back end of that. So last week we were at about three and a half million, and we're still there. So that's good. And yeah, and that, so that pretty much sums everything up. Any guests that are on the call, you know, I want to personally invite you to become an association member, and you know, help us create this proof element. Help us show that the community, you know, that the Black community is willing to come together and to do something for the benefit of us all, right? If we need to pool our resources and grow our money tree so that we can fund our own business and social projects. So that's pretty much all I want to say for now. We have the past few weeks we have been talking about creating like branches in certain parts of the country. So people email me, maybe even some of you email me and ask, hey, what about, you know, a Black Wallets Matter branch in, you know, Atlanta or in like Detroit or Philly or something like that. And it was something that we had began to discuss, but we weren't able to go into it in detail because there were other concerns. And, again, you know, again, I had a lot of things on my plate. But this past week, we had a new member, Sister Camila. She came in as a new member, and she came in strong. She came in ready to roll up her sleeves and get to work. And she was like, well, what can I do? And, you know, and I asked, I said, well, so what is, you know, what is your background, Sister? And she said that she has experience in planning events and facilitating things like that. And so we sat down and we started having a general conversation. You know, all the members know, you know, when you come on board, you usually wind up having like an hour or two or 3 hour conversation with me. You know, we should start talking about this, that, and everything. And so that it was the same with the sister. But then she, you know, she started giving me like some outline of how this ambassadorship was, this is what we're calling it, instead of calling it like a recruiting, it is a recruiting tool, but the sisters, we calling it an ambassadorship, and we started working out the rough outlines of how it would work. So she's been working diligently on it all week long, and I want to introduce Sister Camila to the brothers and sisters that are members and to the guests, and then let her, you know, tell you guys a little bit about what we have going on. So, Sister Camila, I hope she's – I don't see her on the call. Wait a minute. Where are you, Sister? Okay, there you are, Sister. I'm going to unmute your phone, but give me a moment. Let me tag a few new callers who are in now. Brother Ron, how you doing? Brother Howard, how you doing? Brother Kujo, how you doing? Let's see here. Caller from 347-656. Caller 347-656. Your first name, please.
Chi-Chi.
Peach? I'm sorry?
Chi-Chi.
Okay, Sister Chi-Chi. Okay, I like that. Chi-Chi. Got you. Okay, and let's see here. Caller from 850. Caller from 850 area code. Your first name, please.
My name is Karen.
Hey, Sister Karen. How you doing? Okay.
Good, thanks.
Yep. And let me see your name. Okay, Sister Karen. And then we have caller from 510 area code. Caller from 510, your first name, please.
Langston.
Brother Langston. Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you doing?
All right, so you was able to make it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Langston is also a new member, so we want to welcome Brother Langston. Hold on. Caller from 313673 area. Caller 313673. Your first name, please.
My first name is Jalen.
Jalen. Okay, Brother Jalen. Hold on. Jalen. And I think, okay, and caller from 213840. Caller, your first name, please.
Quincy Coleman. Good evening.
I'm sorry, brother. First name?
This is Quincy Coleman. Good evening.
Okay. Okay, hey, bro. Oh, so you were able to make it as well, brother. Okay. Oh.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sister Camila, are you ready? Let me find you, and your mic is unmuted. So,
I am ready.
Okay, excellent. So, what I am going to do is, Sister Camila, she will explain to everyone the outline that she has put together this week about our ambassador program. And then if anyone has any questions or comments or any input, right, so she hasn't fleshed everything out and she is open to feedback and suggestions and things like that to incorporate in her notes, press *6 on your phone, and then you will be put in the queue. And when you're in the queue, I will unmute your phone, and then you can talk directly to the sister or directly to me. All right, so hold on. Let me put it. Oh, okay, so go ahead, sister. You can speak, and then I'll put it in Q&A mode.
Okay, well, hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Camila. I'm in Buffalo, New York, and I'm really excited to be talking to you all today. I think it speaks volumes that we're even on the phone right now. So obviously, we all have a vested interest in the Black community, so I think it's a beautiful thing. We want to increase the membership, so we think an ambassador program could be a good way to recruit new members. And obviously, without new members, we can't meet any of the goals that we have for our community. So the way we see it working is hosting events in different cities and different towns and getting a chance to meet potential members face-to-face and explain some of our goals for the organization and invite them to join at that point. So some ideas we have for the event, the actual outline of the event would be to first make sure that our guests are coming in and feeling welcome and feeling good about the environment. So we talked about like maybe some old school music and some feel-good music. And maybe an icebreaker could be for them to discuss some of the issues that affect our community. Again, excluding things like religion and politics, anything that could not be progressive but keep us at a standstill. We definitely want to have refreshments. And Brother Lou talked about making some custom video drops to welcome people from different cities and towns. You know, just a quick shout out, hello Detroit, hello Buffalo, hello New York City, just so they feel special. And we want to give them an introduction to the group by giving them maybe shortened versions of the blueprint, and that will be something Brother Lou will work on too. And after we give them our presentation, we want to be able to welcome them and encourage them to become members, since obviously that's the reason for the event. And we talked about promoting the event by getting different people in these different cities and towns, as we're all together from, you know, different areas right now, you know, who are willing to recruit people to just get into the event, who are willing to use whatever resources they have in their town. If you have access to a free building or you know about a conference room that we could use, or, you know, we even talked about barbershops, libraries, anywhere where we can get together at a low cost to start to just educate people about the group and what we're trying to do. And we talked about maybe promoting by using the wanted posters that a lot of you may have seen online. That's what I think was originally what pulled me into looking at the website. So using that on some postcards and passing them out and making sure that everything is presented really professional and looks really nice to be able to gain some information about that person so we can reach out to them further and have them fill out those cards. And we also talked about, you know, if anybody has any huge social media followings or knows some people, you know, these groups, these black conscious groups, you know, they get a lot of hits. And if we can use some of that celebrity, I guess, to promote the events, we need to use whatever we can. And then we also, let's see. Sorry about the pause. Oh, that might be it. I talk faster than I thought. Did I go over everything, Brother Lou? Can you talk back to me now?
Okay, so let me pull up the notes that I had. Okay, so for one, the program, it would be called the Ambassadors or the Ambassadorship. So the representative from the city the city or the state or the town or whatever would be an ambassador. And actually, we would require two members to want to be ambassadors before we actually go live with an event. And the reason why is because we want to make sure that one person doesn't have all that work on their plate. Let's see. So you said hosting the plays. Okay. So and then in regards to the promotion, the marketing, and the promotion. So to clarify what she means by the wanted poster, if you go on the Facebook page, the first post that you will see, it says wanted 2,000 black men and women to help rebuild the black community, yada yada. That is what she's referring to. And turning that into like a postcard, a brochure, like a one-sided brochure, and then allowing the ambassadors to just hand those out. And then that brochure would more or less do all the selling, all the talking, all the explaining and then prompt the person to contact the ambassador. Mm-hmm. Right, you said the large social networks. And so we were thinking of calling these meetings local town halls. So we have our town hall meeting here online, on the phone, but they would be called local town halls, and it would be something. So it would be something similar to how we operate now. You did mention the blueprint. You did mention that I would do the intro, and then you know all of that other stuff is just behind the scenes. We were talking about the need to invest in AV equipment. So I spoke with Brother Cujo about that a little bit earlier. This week, the organization may need to invest. We're going to have to invest in AV equipment, which would consist of a computer, a projector, a projector screen, a music player, and speakers. Maybe we could tap in. If someone is able to find a place with the PA system, then that would be fine. You mentioned the refreshment. You mentioned the memberships, right? So obviously the to drive more memberships, and at the end of the town hall meeting, there would be a Q&A session. So, yeah, you pretty much covered everything. I am going to put it in Q&A mode. So, if anyone has any questions, comments, feedback, suggestions of how this could work better, we would really appreciate it. Press star 6. You can address Sister Camila directly, Sister, if I can ever unmute your phone. There you go. There we go. Sister Bonnie. We have Sister Bonnie in the queue. And here we go. Okay, Brother Edward. Okay, Sister Bonnie.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
How you doing? Yes, and then, you know, just so everyone knows, we have quite a few callers on the line this evening, so please be mindful. Try to keep your question or your comment to about 2 minutes or so, please. Thank you.
I have a question.
Shoot.
And my question to both of you is, okay, we do this. I like the idea. I think it will work. I think it will work very well. But we do this in the various cities. Say, okay, I think I'm the only one here in Phoenix. So say I do it here in Phoenix and somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to join, and they want to join right then. How do we do that? How do we send them to the website, or are we going to have a process for them to follow in order for them to join?
Okay. So this was actually in the notes as well, but we didn't want to bore anybody with the technical jargon. But yes, each individual place will have its own dedicated landing page, and it will have its own dedicated sign up process, similar to like the website, and so that we're able to know, where the new sign ups or the new members are coming from. So yes, that would definitely be available.
Okay, great.
All right.
What was my question? I'm done.
Good question.
All right, thank you, sister. All right, thank you, sister. Brother Edward. Okay. Yes, brother.
Good evening, everybody. Brother Edward, Virginia. So I like that ambassador ideal, and my question basically is, these postcards and posters and these things that we want to use for marketing, for the outreach, will there just be a central design and a central place to order those items? I can't speak for everybody else, but for myself, because of my interest in wanting to get started and get people motivated and involved, we're talking about postcards. It depends on where you get them from. They're usually not as expensive. And, one of those type of items, I wouldn't mind just going out and being able to say, okay, everybody has a uniform postcard. This is where we ordered them from. And we know what as many as, we need.
So the design of the postcard, so to speak to, like, how it would work, how one design would work everywhere, the design of the postcard would have the wanted poster, right? So it has the general information. And then on the back, there will be an open space for the ambassadors to leave their name, and for the ambassador to maybe use a stamp and put in the website that they should visit, or something like that. So there would be a way to do that in regards to getting them pressed up. So one of my clients in my main business, he's in the printing industry, and I would be able to get the flyers, the postcards. Actually, it would be cardstock. I would be able to get those printed pretty affordably. So it's not really going to be that big of a deal. And then also we have had a few members actually volunteer and say that they were just, they were so excited and they want to get things rolling that they're willing to just make the investment themselves. And Brother Cujo. So we have a few members who already expressed that, so we can definitely make that happen. It's just a matter of putting together the right team to be ambassadors, right? So we want the presentation and we want the operation to be professional and smooth. You know how our brothers and sisters are. If this thing is, if their first impression of it is unprofessional or unpolished, they're going to be like, oh, no, this is a scam, or this is some BS, or this is some whatever. And so we need to really make this, operate smoothly as possible. Sister Camila has actually volunteered to travel around on her own dime to go around and to ensure that to basically train, right? So, because she's the one with the event coordinating and the event planning experience, she has volunteered to go around and to set these things up. So even though she says that, obviously at some point in time we're going to have to pick up the slack, the organization is going to have to come in on the backfill, because one of the things that we didn't address was the actual cost for like refreshments, and maybe if we have to pay for a venue and some of the other things, as opposed to how many memberships we actually would be able to drive. Like I said, the memberships start at $10, $25, $50. Even if we were to have, let's say we were to have a slam dunk, like go and have an event, and we're able to get, 10, 20 people signed up at, at Platinum at 50, you're only talking about $500 to $1,000. The sister, it's going to cost her more to travel from Buffalo to go to Atlanta, stay there, actually work with the ambassadors, and then plus, what it's going to cost for food and, whatever else to make these things happen. So So we're looking for ways to streamline the process and to make it where that's the other reason why we want two ambassadors too, right? Because it may require a lot of juggling, a lot of detail, and we don't want to put that all on one person. Does that answer all of your questions, or do you have anything else?
No, you answered it. You answered it. Thank you, brother.
All right, cool. Brother Edwards. All right. Does anyone else have a question or a comment in regards to the ambassadorship and in regards to how we would drive the membership? Sister Rhonda. Hold on for a second. Sister Rhonda, Brother Mike. All right, Sister Rhonda.
Yes, Brother Lou. I like the idea. I mean, it's really swell. I mean, I think it would work personally. But I just have a suggestion. As she travels throughout the states or however you're going to do it, and this would alleviate a lot of paperwork as she travels, say, if she's, like you said, Atlanta, as she goes there, as she's getting this information, starts the home office is in New Jersey, it's going to be, or New York? Where is the home office at?
The home office is going to be in New York.
Okay. As she's gathering this information, to don't wait till she gets back up to her next destination or back home to New York because she's from Buffalo, just start sending it so that you can be up on Atlanta. When she gets to the next thing, you don't have to wait till you get to New York and start gathering the info all together. This way you can have the staff and you could know just about what you would have to do in each area. That's my only comment.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by the paperwork. What paperwork are you talking
about? No, I'm not. What I mean is as far as that, to see what you would have to do. Say, like, if you said, okay, we're going to from A to B next with whatever project how she's lining the thing up. And if you see that something, okay, let me see how I want to put this. If to get people in, and she's going to use refreshments or whatever, if that's not working right then, you're not going to wait to see if that's going to work. If you're not getting enough people, you're going to try to do something. You're going to try to do something else. You're not going to wait for like 3 weeks or a month. If it's not working, you're going to go to the next thing. That's what I'm saying, so that you can see where it may not, you're not going to do the same thing in another state or town or city, because whatever may work here may not work in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is you want to get the people, so you're going to have to go to where the I don't want to say culture. You're going to have to know what the people want in that area, because a lot of people, you may take that somewhere. You may take that to California. I have relatives out there, and they may not be in on it. Because that's not how they do things there. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying kind of adapt so you don't waste time in order to get the bottom line, what you need. That's what I'm saying.
Because sometimes it's interesting. We talked about some pre-registration ideas to kind of gauge how many people are interested in coming in the first place, and also to gauge how many refreshments or seats or how much space and things like that we need. Even before we determine a location, we can determine how many people are interested in coming to this type of event in this area. By the ambassador passing out those cards, they will be getting those back in real time. They can get, people can hand it back right now. Somebody might think about it. I don't know. Maybe they can send it in the mail. There's so many options for that. And then we would be able to see how many people have signed up already, before the day of the event. And then also, that just sparked something. I think that it is important that we make sure that we have people. And one great way of doing it is if you sign up to be an ambassador, maybe you need to guarantee that you have 15 people, family or friends, that you're going to bring. And if there's two of them, that's 30 people right there. And Brother Lou and I talked about maybe a goal of maybe 50 people. That's not set in stone or anything, but if we could just gauge ahead of time how many people and make the ambassador agree to be committed to signing up a certain amount of people, and that could also make sure we get our seats filled.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just making a comment, that's all. I was just making a comment because I've lived other places and things. I'm a New Yorker and things don't go the way it does in North Carolina. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. And sometimes you got to march to somebody else's beat when you're in their territory to get them to do what you need to get them to do.
That's a good point.
You know, that's what I'm saying. And that's it.
We have Brother Mike and Brother Jalen. All right, thank you, Sister Rhonda. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Brother Mike. Yes, brother.
Hello, Brother Lou and Brother Camilla and everybody else. I just wondered, do you have a timeline yet as far as the rollout, or are we still in the planning processing stage?
Well, this was something that the sister and I just covered in the past week. We were discussing it over the last, I want to say, two or three town halls, but no, we haven't. Sister, what you said, sometime in August, you would be free or something like that?
Yeah, and as far as planning, I think that would be the most realistic, the earliest possible date.
Right.
If we want to make it
move. Right, so yeah. we're looking at, and so, and the reason, so we were thinking Atlanta, and the reason why we have a few members that are in Atlanta, and then I get a lot of calls from the Atlanta area, and so I think it would just be easier to be able to put together two ambassadors there. And then again, it's a major black city. There's a lot of things going on. I have resources. I believe all of us have some family, some friends, some people in Atlanta that we know that we can say, hey, this is an organization that I'm a part of. Go check out this person or call this point person or whatever it is. And so I think we could have a fairly successful turnout in Atlanta. So that was something that we were talking about doing first. And for sure, the first one, we do not plan to cover our expenses. We actually plan to lose money on this first venture because we have to iron out the kinks. We have to see how it works. Mm-hmm. We have to do all the different things. But we think that it would be really important to put one out there because there have been members who have asked about this, about doing something physical. I know someone else also said, suggested we do it at historically black colleges, or how you say that, HBUs, HBCUs, however that works.
Wow, so that's someone, a good idea.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Someone suggested that. So we have a few ideas in the hopper. We haven't thought of everything, which is why we're opening up the floor to everyone tonight to get certain suggestions and feedback and comments. But when it gets crunch time and we try to nail down a definite time, I guess, I'll push aside whatever it is I have on my plate. There's a core group of us that we work on a lot of these things diligently behind the scenes. And so we would have like a group call and we would hash this thing out. So, All right, brother.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Brother Jalen. Okay, brother.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Jalen Brown from Detroit, Michigan. However, I went to Tuskegee University and HBCU, and it's funny that you just brought it up because that was actually going to be my suggestion. I noticed a lot of the HBCUs, especially down south, so whether it's Morehouse and Spelman and Clark, Tuskegee, Alabama State University, we all have student organizations on campus apart from, the typical SGA, where mm-hmm. we tackle a lot of the black issues going on. And we tend to use media as our typical market. So we have people, who do spoken word. We have painters. And we've been able to, get a nice following with that. So we have thought about using organizations such as that in order to increase publicity and promotion.
That's an amazing idea.
Now here's something that just popped in my head. So let's say we do it on a college campus. The word on the street is college kids don't have any money. So we would be doing this, but we would not be able to drive memberships or enough memberships because the college kids don't have the income or the money to invest. I'm not saying I don't know this. I just know that's what I hear. I have little cousins and things like that that are in college constantly hitting me up. They hit up the whole family. Hey, I need money for this, and this. And so I'm saying, so if we were to go and do something like this on a college campus, I'm not sure that the severity of the problem would resonate with them, right? Because so the majority of us who are so motivated, we're older. We're like we've watched the world evolve from, and you know, it was kind of bad to like where it is right now, where we feel like we're alarmed, or we're just thoroughly disgusted. I'm not sure that. Kids, and I don't know this. I'm just saying. I'm throwing this out there, and I hope someone can, you know, you can tell me. So you attended them. I could be off base, but I don't think that they're alarmed enough. I don't think that they're going to feel the pain enough to say, you know what, I need to get behind this, or I need to become a member of this organization. Because the bottom line, no matter what we discuss. As a solution, and this goes from our first town hall meeting to the last town hall meeting we ever had to the last thing. Nothing can happen without money. I know a lot of people like to think, you know, volunteer and hope and, you know, all of this. That's not going to work. The only way that we're going to solve what's going on in the black community is if we hire people to do, you know, if people wake up every day and it's their job to go and fix a problem in the black community. And that's what we need the money for, because we need to hire people. We need to be like, this is the solution and we want you to work on it. Here's your paycheck. Get up and go and do it. So I just wanted to just throw that out there, brother.
Can I jump in, Brother Lou?
Yes, please.
I think what you're saying is true about students and money being an issue, but we can also think about possible student discounts. I think the quantity of those students in that concentrated area, and if they're a member of the Black Student Union or something, obviously they care about these issues. The quantity of those students there, especially on Black campuses, could be enough to overcome the fact that maybe they don't have $10 a month, but if they all have seven, that might, you know what I'm saying, be able to bridge that gap. Also, these students have parents. These universities have alumni associations. So it's definitely an area that we can target. It doesn't have to be just the students, the entire campus, those faculty. Those people are making good money, and I'll be willing to bet that they care about black people if they're working at a historically black college. Probably they do. They might, you know, be having alumni weekend or parents weekend or homecoming or whatever, and we can sneak in and piggyback off of some already planned events and use their center for free and have a great following and a great crowd to be able to target.
I love that. And whatever you said just got everybody fired up, because we got a whole lot of people popped in the queue. So, Brother Jim,
yeah,
I love it, brother. You brought something really good to the floor, brother.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was trying to go with it, because I know, like, you know, with the students here, we do have, you know, an issue in terms of our funds. However, we do have a voice. We do get a lot of people, whether it's students on our campus.
And even they can just tell somebody.
Community, they're, you know, tuning in to the stuff that we say, tuning into the pieces that we put online. And if nothing, it's great publicity, especially seeing as I'm going to L.A. and there's a bunch of events that are centered around our different HBCUs. So it would be a great place to, you know, throw in some real quick, shameless publicity, you know, keep the ball rolling. Because, you know, the more that we get people aware of the situation, the more people we can get that will be able to put in money.
100% right. I love it. Okay, brother. Thank you for bringing that up, man. Thank you for adding a little bit more meat to that suggestion. All right. So we have Sister Sony, Brother C, Brother Steve, and Brother Howard in the queue. Sister Sony. Hello, sister.
Yeah, this is Sony. I wanted to partner with Jalen from Detroit. First off, I wanted to ask if I could partner with him. And also, I was just listening, and you were talking about the college students. And I think we kind of do ourselves a little bit of a disservice when we kind of overlook the high school students. And I really think high school kids have more money than college kids. But if we could just get them started before they even go off into college, I think that would help us a lot, as far as the community.
Okay. Sister Camilla, you wanna address?
When I was in college, I wasn't broke. When I was in high school, I was definitely broke. But they have parents. we want anybody. I mean, we can't count any group out. I think it's just all about how we're going to target different groups. Our presentation for college students might be different than that for high school. Maybe we can facilitate some way for them to start a savings program or encourage them to start your own business this month and reinvest that money into this organization. We can give you some of the tools. Open up a lemonade stand. I don't know what high school kids do to earn money. Some of them might have jobs at fast food restaurants or family businesses. Anything is worth a try, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Sister Tony.
All right.
Brother Steve.
Hey, how you doing, everyone?
Peace.
I'm just kind of piggybacking off of the brother that mentioned the college students. This is just some things I'm throwing out there. I'm 29 myself, and I believe, what we all are creating here is phenomenal. I kind of agree with him because to me it's just mainly publicity. Any attention is the attention, maybe the attention that we're looking for. I kind of am into network marketing, so I'm going to speak this into existence. We will call this line, this conference line, and it will be 9,000 people one day. So when I called, I was expecting to hear there are 900 people in the conference, but it hasn't grown there just yet. So I believe any publicity is good publicity. I don't know if this will work, but even have events in parks. Like let's try to use some free resources that are available to us. And another reason that I believe that maybe even high school students, like the lady Miss Sony, I believe, said, and college students, like the brother said, would be good because of this. We have creative young minds that can think of creative ways to draw attention. Right now, I think that attention would be great because the more people that you have seeing what is going on, may want to join. And sometimes, I don't know, if this will fit into what's going on, but even if you just get donations, if you can't afford the 10 or 25, even a dollar, just imagine if you got a dollar from a million people. You know what I mean? Just. I think almost every idea possibly could help if it doesn't use, too much of the funds. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Steven. Thank you for speaking those types of numbers and everything into existence. Mm-hmm. That would be phenomenal. It would be chaos on me trying to manage 900 people on this call, but it would be phenomenal nonetheless. Because we do have the capacity for 1,000 people on these lines. So we have Brother Howard in the queue, but we do have a few other callers that we haven't been able to address. So we're going to speak to Brother Howard, and then I will tag the new callers who have come on the call. And we have Brother Langston as well in the queue. All right, thank you, Brother Steve.
Thank you,
Brother Howard.
Brother Lou, how you doing?
Peace, brother. Peace, brother. What happened to you last week, man? We missed you, brother.
Man, I had a lot going on. I was very busy.
Well, excellent, brother. I hope that was business. I hope it was business, brother.
Yes, sir. Business, yes. Business and our family.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, Sister Camilla, she's from my hometown, Buffalo. In Buffalo, we like to take action.
Yes, we have to.
And she's right where when I was talking to you the last time that I was on the town hall conference. That it's all about taking action and setting things into motion, and planning and having different events, and definitely meeting face to face. You know, we need to meet face to face. I say maybe 3 or 4 times a year. You know, every three months or so. You know, have a conference or something where we could sit down at the round table and get to know people. You know, it's better when you're sitting face to face. You know, you kind of can trust people a little bit more. You know, when you can talk to them face to face. You know, and the ambassadorship idea sounds good. It's something that I was talking to Brother Lou about, and the small business support. And I just want to keep it say that we have to target certain groups, and we're gonna have to advertise. I think we need to use maybe local black radios. I know when I go online and I go to the SBA, and they have different programs, different conferences, or different little meetings, and people can sign up to attend the different meetings. You know, different meetings that the Small Business Administration offer, and that way you would know exactly how much in refreshments to have there, and how many people to expect. You know, people will go online and make a reservation that they will be at a certain location that we choose at a certain time to talk about certain issues, you know. And I just think that that's a good way of finding out before you go to a city, you know, before you're going all over the place, to know what you're going to expect, 100 people have reserved a seat, you know, in Atlanta at the so-and-so hotel or so-and-so a student union hall or whatever, you know. And I feel that we also need to make it more enticing. You know, probably see if we can get a couple of economists, people who make an offer their time and expertise, and just keep everything keep it on business at first, because we don't want people thinking that we're this radical group, and it's all about only about what's happening to our black men. I mean, we all know we don't have to talk about it to know. Most of us have lived it. You know, that the police brutality and unfairness, you know, in business and a lot of things that we do, you know, a lot of things that we try to do, you know. And I just think that we could be very careful how we, you know, market ourselves. We don't want to be a Black Lives Matter, you know, thing, you know, drawing attention that we are anti-police or something like that, you know. But we all know what's going on, you know. We all know what's going on. We don't have to really specify it out in public like that. But I think if we keep it on a business type of thing, you know, at first, you know, that will be helpful. Then we, you know, business people usually who are in business will invest and come out. You know, those type of people that will come out.
I absolutely agree with you, Brother Howard. Actually, I do have that in my notes. Sister Camila and I, we spoke briefly prior to the town hall, and we had a new idea that it's not a new idea. It was something that we brought up in the past town halls, and it was about, you know, turning the actual event into like a business networking type thing, and then possibly teaching some financial literacy or some, you know, some type of business training, giving some type of free training, not, you know, not focusing so much on our social issues, just
right.
using basically, yeah. right, basically being a business, doing what it is that we have to do, and then, like, the core group of us, you know, those who know exactly what it is that we're doing, we just go ahead and handle the business behind the scenes and then allow everyone else, right, because we don't want so many people in our business for the nature of what it is that we want to do. And then, you know, most people, they're not even going to care anyway. So
right.
you are,
yeah.
so you're definitely on point in regards to that, Brother Howard.
Yeah.
We have Brother Langston in the queue. I want to give Brother Langston an opportunity. I want to welcome him as well, as I said. So he's a new member as well. And Brother Howard, I want to speak with you again because in regards to the transportation, because Brother Kareem, he's doing something in right there in New York with the medical transportation that we spoke about last week. So I got to give you a call. All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Brother Langston.
Yeah, how's it going, Brother Lou, Sister
Peace,
Miller,
hi.
And everyone? In regards to what we were just talking about there with the messaging being being surrounding more financial literacy, I like that idea a lot as well. I was going to address something further back in terms of college students and focusing our marketing as a whole. I think I've had this experience too with a business that can serve a lot of different types of demographics of people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've found out or learned through experience is if you try to serve everybody, you end up serving nobody, and you kind of stretch yourself a little thin. And I think one of the things that I would probably suggest or recommend is that the ambassadors in each of the different cities kind of prioritize demographics within their local cities that are most obtainable. So, for instance, the Atlanta chapter would probably prioritize college students because they're right there in a central location. You know, Spelman, Morehouse, Clark, Atlanta. There's plenty of HBCUs there as well. Maybe they prioritize, or not prioritize might not be the correct word, but they focus in on those, on that demographic first in order to, you know, gain the momentum with that base first. Because I think somebody else has said this too, attention is just as necessary as the monetary donations when you, given our stage, where this platform is right now.
So I'm listening to, I want to kind of like understand, are you saying that the ambassadors should already like have an idea of who it is that they want to target, or are you saying that we
exactly.
should provide? Okay. Well, so that would actually be a prerequisite of an ambassador, and so
yeah.
We didn't go into it deeply in regards to it, right? So we had the notes, but we didn't really expound on it, and so I guess
okay.
now would be a good time in answer to your question. Also. So for those new people who are on the call who didn't hear, if you have a question or a comment, you can press *6 on your phone. That will put you in a queue that would allow you to ask a question or to comment. The topic that we're discussing are ambassadorships, different branches of the Black Wallets Matter, different chapters in cities and states like Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York, Detroit, things like that. So if you jump in the queue, please keep your question or comment pertaining to the topic at hand. And because we have so many people on the call tonight, you know, please, you know, try to keep your question or your comment within like a 2 or 3 minute range. Really quickly, though, to address your concern, Brother Langston, So anyone who becomes an ambassador, there will be like protocol. So there will be certain prerequisites. And one of the main things, that's why the sister will be traveling to more or less train and vet people, you know what I'm saying, right? So that's
right.
Like the other motive, to make sure that they're representing the organization the proper way. And then also one of the prerequisites is, you know, are you an outgoing person? Are you a networker? The other thing, I don't think anyone would volunteer, right? So we're not assigning people to be ambassadors. I don't think anyone who isn't a go-getter, someone who doesn't like identify or know what this organization is about, I don't think that they would put themselves out there to be an ambassador anyway. And then also, for those who aren't familiar with like direct selling methodologies and like party planning type things, this is kind of sort of like, it would start off sort of like a Tupperware party. And so if you ever went to one of those parties, them selling parties, you go, you're in someone's living room, they have their hors d'oeuvres, they're showing off their goods. The people who buy, when you're at the closing table, they say, hey, do you want to host a party too? You know, so that's essentially how this model would work. It would grow organically. It would be, you know, somebody who has a large family, and the next thing you know, he's having like a barbecue, or he has a bunch of his buddies in his living room. He knows that they've been, you know, complaining about what's going on in the community, and they're looking for a way to do something. They're looking for a vehicle. And I think really that's like the biggest problem, why so many of our celebrities and other people with the ability to do something, the reason why they don't do anything is because there isn't like that one vehicle that is actually making things happen for the black community. And that's exactly what this organization is set up to do. That's why I'm trying to press this first business, this first proof element so fast, because we have to show the black community that a bunch of unrelated black people who don't know nobody from, we don't know each other from nowhere, and we were able to come together, and we were able to work together, and we were able to agree and disagree and whatever else it is, and still make something happen. And I think that would also improve the morale and how all of us feel about this organization. So, you know, I have that on my, that's on my whiteboard. That's the first thing. It's a morale booster, and it's also, and you can trust and believe, soon as we have that first piece of that first proof element, which will be the Black Wall Street Project, we will promote the hell out of it. Brother Howard is saying, you know, maybe we need to do the radio and things like that. You know, I just, you know, like I said, we have had the reach of 7 million people. We are holding consistently at 3 million people a week. We're not going to get that kind of reach, like, through basically any other kinds of medium. It's going to be hard, or it's going to be expensive. So, you know, so I understand, Brother Howard, he wants to meet and you do all this, but, you know, got to keep in mind that all of these things cost money, and the organization doesn't have the money. So as you're saying these things, you're actually saying, you know, Brother Lou, spend money and throw a conference. That's what you're saying. So, you know, I'm just letting you know that, you know, we have to build up the membership numbers in order to be able to support these things. I want to let some of the other calls, we have a few other callers who have come on, and we have some in the queue. Brother Langston, did I address your concern sufficiently?
Yes, that was, yeah, yes.
Thank you so much, brother. Okay, and we have, okay, so we have Sister Nzinga, and we have a caller from 281, and I don't have the name, but I will get it shortly. Sister, you are up. Hello, sister.
Hello, how are you, Steve, my brother? How are you doing,
Steve,
sister?
How you doing?
Hi. I am so excited. This is so exciting, guys.
Right?
I love your ideas. I love you, Brother Lou, how you keep it real. Love it. I got a couple of questions. To become an ambassador, do you have to be a paid member?
Yes, you have
absolutely.
To be, you have to be a member.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, because how are you sell anybody else on it if you aren't sold yourself?
Right. And
so that's,
okay,
that's
next,
one of the perfect ones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I said no, that's one of the, yeah, that was, okay, that was one of the requirements.
Okay. And are the first 2,000 the first 2,000 paying members you get?
Those, well, those would be, so that's for, like, the founding members, and the reason we were saying the founding members was so that we could build the first, like I'm saying, proof element. We would have, so the revenue we would have had at 2,000 members would have allowed us to build our shopping portal, our shopping app. It's taking longer. I thought that we would be able to have those amount of members within 3 or 4 months. Brother Cujo and I are talking about it behind the scenes. Brother Cujo is like, man, we might be looking at a year. I don't like that because that's a year that it's just too long without any definable action as far as I'm concerned. So my goal this summer is to put together the Black Wall Street Project. And the Black Wall Street, I don't have my notes right in front of me. But just for all of those on the call, I just want to give you guys a brief heads up. So the Black Wall Street Project, it will be financial literacy. It will be a free financial literacy thing course. I don't want to call it a course, but it will be a free financial literacy training that we will put out on social media, right? So we're going to tell everyone, come in, here's something that you can use for your family, for your, you know, to improve. We are going to offer existing businesses, we are going to offer them business consultation, marketing, and web development services. That's what I do. That's my other business, right? So I'm a digital marketing consultant, a web designer, web developer. There's hardly anything someone could want to do online that I can't, that I haven't already done. Unless someone, and then if I don't know how to do it, then I know where to hire the people to do it. And I always think marketing first. So a lot of people, they say, hey, I got this business idea, and then they start worrying about like the business cards and this and this and this. I don't care about none of that. I'm like, where are you going to get your customers? What are you selling them, and do they want to buy it? And if they want to buy it, then we'll worry about all that other stuff. Perfect example, Black Wallets Matter. I said, okay, I knew that this thing needed to be a B Corp. I had some money that I wanted to invest. We needed $8,000 to get a certified B Corp. I said I have, and then and so prior to launching it, the server blew up, the server that I was going to host this on. $6,500 on the server, or do I go take this $8,000 and go and get this paper that absolutely means nothing before people even know what we're going to do? I pledge my current assets so that we can get our merchant account, so that we can get our present, you know, our credit card processing, and I launch Black Wallets Matter to make sure that people want it. We have 141 people that says yes, I want it. That's validation. We don't have the money for the B Corp to register for the B Corp. I don't care. We're going to go and we're going to do the Black Wall Street Project. We're going to create the business. We don't have the money. We don't have all the money. But we have 141 people who say, yes, I care. I believe in this. So you know what? I'll put a little bit more money. We'll develop the Black Wall Street Project, and we'll put that out there. And that's because I have a lot of people who say, hey, can you promote my business for me? Hey, can you help me with my business? You know, so those are people who are saying they have a need. And that's the way that I like to do business. That's the best. That's how all of these new businesses that are these people becoming billionaires, that's what they're doing. They're just starting it. They're just launching these businesses. They're not worrying about freaking business cards and all this other stuff. They're like, do people want this? And if the people don't want it, they scrap the business idea. And I come from that school of business. So I'm sorry about that long-winded sister, but, that's some of the things that we want to offer to the people, because I want people to get results. I really, really want to help people. I really want people to get results. Brother Cujo, Sister Kokoya, a few other people, you know, talk behind the scenes. They're like, well, why don't we just do this? And I'm like, nope, because it won't give the people the results. And I don't want this organization to be labeled with something that's lame or something that's, like, you know, not official or whatever. So
right.
I'm sorry, Sister. I just, you know, I'm right. passionate about that.
No, I hear you. So am I. Years ago, I was with a brother, Charles Campbell. He was the TQR, the Quiet Revolution. And it was basically what your plan is, bringing a million people together, $20 a month, creating our own radio, our own media, our own political party, our own everything that you talked about. He's been trying to do for years, and I've been wanting to do it for years, so I'm really excited. Back to the ambassador, is it a certain level of membership they have to be? Or any membership?
No, any level.
Okay. And when you say we're responsible for Rome, would you recommend auditorium-type setting or a conference room-type setting where you have the projector and all the computer equipment available?
Truthfully, we haven't figured that part out. So let's say you're in Atlanta and you know someone with a salon and they have a nice size salon. You can set up some chairs in the salon. Go for it. That's what I would say. But make sure it's done tastefully, right? So make sure when the people come in, it's a nice atmosphere. They're able to mingle. I've had meetings in my barbershop before. And, you know, no, there was no problems. There's no problems. So it can definitely be done. Living rooms, backyard, basements, whatever it is, this thing is going to have to grow at a grassroots level. One of the things that we want to do, though, is we want to record them so that other people can see that there are people who care enough to come to one of these town hall meetings and participate in a discussion about improving what's going on in the Black community.
Right.
So we haven't worked out all the kinks, sister. I'm being honest with you because this is something that we started working on in earnest this week. But if you have any other ideas, definitely contact me or contact Sister Camila. We can, you know, we'll set that up and, you know, hash it out.
Absolutely, yes, because I'm very interested. Absolutely. Okay, that's all. I don't want to hold you up, but I just wanted to, you know, because I'm getting excited here.
Good.
All right. All right, sister. Thank you.
Okay.
Peace. Okay, caller from 281. Caller, your, what is your first name, caller?
Tracy.
Okay, Sister Tracy.
No, Tracy. I'm a male.
Oh, Brother Tracy. I'm sorry, Brother Tracy. All right, because I had a sister. Sister Tracy was contacting me behind the scenes. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm based out of Houston. I'm a business owner. I own a web company, an IT firm. So I guess this is my first call. I guess because of the time frame, I didn't know it was 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But I just had a couple questions. I really don't know too much about the organization. I think I just ran across it in, I guess, an email, some kind of social media through my company email. And I've been getting a little information about y'all, and just want to learn a little more about what y'all purpose is and how, like, a successful business owner like myself can get a part and help drive whatever direction y'all trying to do in the Black community. And secondly, I also sit on, here in Houston, the Black Chamber of Commerce. And I was just wondering, have your organization thought about partnering up with organizations like Chambers of Commerce
That's actually a good idea. I do that for my other business. So I work with, I go to Chamber of Commerce events and I talk to the local business owners about, improving their website or marketing on social media. But I have never, I didn't know that there was like a black only Chamber of Commerce, but that would actually be great. And in my initial, all right, so to back up, for you to find out more, so that you can find out more exactly what we're about, if you go on the website, there's a video presentation. It's called The Blueprint. It's about 36 minutes long. It explains from soup to nuts what we're about, what we intend to do, and what we're doing. So in the presentation, you will hear us talk about we're going to have town hall meetings and, you know, things like that. But so that has already happened. When we're going to discuss things, so we're already a little bit further along, than where that video is saying. So that will give you a great point of reference. I never knew about a Black Chamber of Commerce. So you are bringing something new to the table, and I would definitely love to talk to you more about it and how would that work and how many others there are.
Because, like, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, because we could put together like a total business class type membership. And actually, that's one of the parts of the Black Wall Street Project, is to have businesses, have black businesses, have them become members, and help and promote, and for basically promote their business, or basically promote the directory. So a few weeks back, Sister Kokoya suggested a business directory, and it would be comprised of the businesses who need more exposure. Because what we can do is, so let's say you guys are in Houston and we have 10 businesses in Houston. Well, we can set up a directory. It can say black businesses in Houston. And then that page specifically can be promoted to people that we find on social media in Houston. So that's just a way to really separate a lot of the traffic that we get. So I would really like to explore that idea more with you behind the scenes.
Yeah, because like Houston has, our chamber has over 30,000 black-owned businesses in our chamber. So, I mean, Houston is like the third largest city in America, and it's the black-owned business is not as vagrant, as bold as in Atlanta, but there are more black-owned businesses in Houston than there are in Atlanta. It's just that they're not, marketed a lot, but there are a lot of big, successful businesses here. Another question is, how would your organization benefit an owner like me who's established, has a successful company, and how would your business program help? What would be the correlation? Because, like I said, most black-owned businesses are part of some black chamber, which is they're all across the U.S. So what's the difference between because the chamber deals with development of the business, helping the marketing, getting them stay on track with business plans. It also helps with political connection and helps with dealing with getting certified with government agencies, and it helps deal with legislations that affect black-owned businesses. So the chamber engulfs a lot of the stuff I've been hearing you say over the call. and I'm just trying to figure out on a business aspect how much different than what is already in place. I guess that's what I'm trying to.
Okay, so our main thing is, okay, so the Black Wall Street Project would most likely be the business or be the entity that would help the individual business. And, I mean, it would really depend on where you are in your business and what needs you would have. So I don't know that we would have, like, a blanket service or whatever it is that would, you know, would help you because I don't know the nature of your business. But what I do know is that the vast majority of Black businesses do not actually contribute back to the Black community. There's this big push for everyone to support Black businesses, but no one is thinking as far as saying, okay, well, if I support this Black business, what is this Black business actually doing for me and my community? So if you look at the Jewish community, the Jewish people go to those businesses, and coincidentally, Jewish people gouge other Jewish people. Their prices are higher. They do serve good quality stuff, but they the Jewish businesses recontribute back to the Black community through the Jewish community, either through the synagogue or some other kind of way. And that's what we're trying to establish within our community. So it's not really I don't want to turn this into like a pointed fingers, right? So I have a business in a community, in a Black community for over 20 years. When I launched that business, I did not support that community that supported my business. My mother and my father pointed it out to me in my second year of business and was like, "What are you doing?" And so I have become acutely aware of it since then, since my second. So, you know, I want to say maybe 20, 19 years ago, I have been acutely aware of, hey, you take money out of this community, you have to recontribute. Now, I cannot go and say, you know, let me create a community center or let me do this or whatever. So what we do is Thanksgiving, you know, we may have the dinner or we may give away book bags and pencils and things like that back to school. That's our way of giving back. What we're looking at now on this larger scale, we are looking at creating businesses who are socially responsible. So you are a Black business owner. I don't know where you are in Houston, but if the local Black population, if they are the ones that support your business, we are appealing to you and saying, hey, brother, why aren't you recontributing back to the Black community? Excuse me, you know, you can become a member of our organization. We'll find other businesses in your area, and then together we would be able to create some community resource center, or we would be able to create something that would help that help that community in aggregate. That's the goal. That's our intention.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what the chamber does. I mean, you know, because we support PV, we support Texas Southern, which are the two historic Black universities in Houston, and we support a lot of other Black churches and social groups here in Houston. But I think that this could be a conversation offline about how, what is, because I think it's a misconcept of what actual Black Chamber does and what the impact, because I give back a lot to my community. And I don't think the problem is Black-owned businesses. I think it's the problem is the consumer, which is the individual Black. Because to think about it, Black America spent $2.1 trillion last year. That's more money than over 50 countries. They went through their hands $2.7 billion. That $2.7 trillion, excuse me, $2.7 trillion didn't go through Black-owned businesses. That money didn't go through Black-owned businesses. It went through mostly white business and other ethnic groups. You know, we had a discussion here in Texas. A couple of months ago with the state about black firms. The state spent $64 trillion on services, and of the $64 billion, white firms got 15% of it, Hispanics got another 7%, and Asian got 5%, but the African-American firms only got $5 million. So it's a complex problem, because I don't want to say all the blame is for black-owned businesses, because it's not. Because we do try our best to go up against the odds. Like, I'm an IT firm, and it's hard to sell what I do to my people, but I still try and I still give back. But like I said, that's an off-table conversation we can have. My second thing that was talked about was getting young people involved. And I think that's a great aspect of a good idea, to get them more involved into what you're trying to do, since it's a grassroots organization, because they, especially now, they have a more in tune sense of togetherness, being involved in what's going on around them. And yes, young people have money, especially on HBCUs, which I graduated from, but they have the know-how to get money for a worthy cause. So I just thought that more should be done trying to reach out to college students, because I think they'll probably be your easy sell. And those guys will be more motivated to get out and move and change older people like myself minds. Look for what it's worth, good or bad, look at Black Lives Matter. Most of those are led by young people, not people my age.
Right, but okay. So I'm not disagreeing with you in regards to getting the youth more involved. It is something to be done. Again, I don't know if you were on the call at this time when I said this, but any idea that we have, any solution, anything that we're proposing, it's going to cost money to do it. And currently, we do not have the revenue to cover that. So right now we are not covering. So what it took to get you on the call, right? The marketing that it took to get you here today, because this is your first time, right? So you're
right.
Yes. Right. So it costs money to get you here. Whether you become a member or not after watching the blueprint, we don't know. But the bottom line is we still had to pay to get you here. If you're receiving our emails, we have to pay to host your record, right? Your email address, we have to pay for all of that. So again, it's cool to say, right, we need to shoot this way and we need to shoot that way, but realistically speaking, I know from speaking to the members, from knowing who our members are and things like that, we have very few young members. We have a brother Jeff, and we have Sister Charmaine and brother Jay as our youngest members. All right, so Sister Camila, she's young, and we have another sister. But, I mean, that's about it. So,
yeah.
I mean, five people out of 100 and some odd people, 140 some odd people. So they are the ones who are, they are the people that are like your age. So you remember the world when, although there was racism, a black man had the opportunity to get up and go and do what it is that he wanted to do without maybe, getting his head cracked by another black man or something like that. Like, you remember the world when it was different, and you know where we are today. And so, you may be a bit more established. So you may have the resources, or you may care, or you may have the vision to see that this organization could morph into something that could be beneficial without you saying, you know what, it's not entertainment, it's not a vacation, or, you know, something else that may that, you know, a younger person may allocate their money towards. So you know, that's that. In regards to the other thing that you were talking about, the black businesses, we have another person in the queue. They're untagged, and I want to give them time because we actually went over the 2 minutes. But I do want to address the thing that you mentioned when you said that it is the black consumer and things like that. That is a very interesting discussion. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it this evening because we're closing in 15 minutes on 11 o'clock hour, and that is when we end these calls. But if we do have a few minutes, brother, I would like to circle back and address that because it's interesting. I like your perspective on this, but there's definitely two sides to that coin. All right, brother?
All right, no problem.
All right, so caller from 323 area code. Caller.
Hello.
Your first name? Yes, your first name, please.
Christopher is the first name.
Brother Christopher, we have a few of those. Can I have your last initial?
T.
T? Okay, brother Christopher. Okay. I'm sorry, you said T. P as in Paul, or T as in Thomas?
As in Tiger.
Yep, T. All right, gotcha. Okay, brother Christopher T.
So, okay, I'm just mind spraying. This is my first time participating in this, and I want to thank you for putting this forum together. So I'll try to be brief because I know you're short on time. I was listening to you. I came in kind of late because I'm just now getting off work, but I'm sorry for that. But I was listening to you talking about black businesses, and this business directory where, you know, black businesses can reference one another and things of that nature. And the caller just before me had some questions about the value of, you know, being on this directory, as well as being able to rope the youth involved. And so I think that I think we need a big picture, right? So what that means to me is I feel like this program potentially and these black businesses with this directory, we need to operate more like a political party, right? Like the Democratic National Convention or the Republican National Convention, where they will meet and they will put together an agenda and, you know, a platform, I should say, I'm sorry, a platform on where they want to be, and then line up an agenda on the baby steps of how to get there. So with reference to, like, the businesses, you might start off with, you know, this directory where all these, you know, local area businesses are aware of each other and can, like, kind of sew into each other. Maybe that progresses to the point where you can have something of a credit union that all of them can, you know, be members in. And in that respect, you can have greater community outreach in terms of people who can bank there, people being able to get discounts with local area businesses, being, you know, and giving them greater incentive to be part of the credit union. You know, it's almost negotiate with local movie theaters or things like that, be they black or white, to pull those black dollars in. So you might take businesses, even if they're not black owned, you can take businesses that may be struggling financially and say, hey, we can help you we'll give discounts for you to use your products, get more traffic in, and in return you would contribute to you know, or bank at this credit union or that credit union and stuff like that, and get more money into the pot where you can, you know, have business loans going back into the community. And in terms of, and that's just an idea I was just thinking about. In terms of getting youth involved, there's nothing to stop us and having a series of black businesses in any area to, you know, get together a coordinator that can set up internships for black youth. You know, the second they turn, you know, 14 or 15 and start mentorship programs and to liaise with local school districts to help them, you know, gain a skill, earn credits, you know, community service, where you can write them, you know, letters of recommendation or accommodation and things like that, where you can get the youth involved. Now, you know, you're not going to necessarily approach a 13-year-old with that aspect or with that and have them necessarily excited about that, but what you do is you target the parents. You target the adults that are at home who have those kids so that they send the kids to those programs, that they have them take part in that. And
I just want to say something, because so you got on the call late, and you know, I wanted to give you a time to, you know, give you some time to express yourself, but we are running short. We have another brother in the queue, and I just wanted to address your point. The purpose of the business directory is not to just pick random businesses or just any business. Basically, the reason why I said that was because every day I have different people contacting me and asking me to promote their business. That's the reason why. So basically, we are just going to provide a platform, a formal platform, for them to either pay for the exposure, because we have wide exposure. Like I said, you probably missed it, but 2 weeks ago, our reach on social media was 7 million. Our reach this week is 3.5 million. Well, our reach the past couple of weeks has been 3.5 million, and that's because we've been posting more positive content. But the type of reach and the type of marketing that we're doing, a lot of local businesses, they don't know how to do that. And they're not going to have that kind of reach. So we're just using the asset that we have, right? So we have like 5,000 and change email people on the email list. So those are people who are quote unquote part of the black conscious movement, or people who are thinking about supporting black businesses or whatever it is. So we're just talking about using the assets that we have to get to our financial objective. That's really what it is. So our initial goal was to drive membership dues. And because we haven't hit our target with the membership dues, we are just looking at additional businesses and additional things that we can do as an organization to hit our revenue target so that we can continue ahead with our social projects. So that's what it is. So in regards to the youth, so I allowed the brother a wide berth to discuss the youth aspect of it, but that's really not the topic on the floor for tonight, because we discussed the youth, I believe, the past 3 weeks. And then, you know, some brothers, they said how we can get them involved. You know, you mentioned internships and things like that. Those types of things have been discussed in the past few town halls. And, I mean, I don't know if you are a member yet or if you looked into it. If you are a member, you can look in your membership area. You can look at the past. You can listen to the past town hall meetings. And then you can go over and you can see what we have. If you are not a member, then watch the blueprint and definitely become a member if it resonates with you. And then, you know, we would definitely love to have you aboard. Real quick, we have a caller that we didn't get a chance to address, and then we have Brother Muda in the queue. So, Brother Christopher T., is there anything you would like to add in conclusion?
Not particularly right now. I mean, I'd still have a little bit of homework to do, admittedly. I'm just learning about this. I'm glad that this resource is out there, and I'm definitely excited and interested to learn more about it. I'm definitely going to check out Blueprint, so you'll be hearing more from me in the future. Thank you for the opportunity.
So
yes, sir.
Yes, brother. Okay. All right. So, Brother Muda, I got you. Let me just tag this caller, and then we are at 5-minute mark. Caller from 773-541, your first name, please.
Eric.
Brother Eric. Hold on, Brother Eric. Brother Eric. Okay. So again, I just want to say to anyone on the call, we're closing up, Brother Muda, so we're closing up in about 4 minutes. Any guests that are still on the call, you know, we want to get feedback from you at the end of the town hall meeting. We also want to invite anyone who isn't yet a member. If you want to help us reach our membership goals, if you are not yet a member, please become a member. That would push us one step closer, obviously. Memberships start at $10 at the silver level, $25 at the gold, and $50 at the platinum. And, you know, stick around and please provide your feedback if this was your first town hall meeting. Brother Muda, you are up. Go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I'm not going to take long. Actually, I just want to, if it's possible for you to put me in contact with the brother that is IT. I'm in the field,
okay.
So I wanted to get in touch with him and try to see what I can learn from him or something. Generally.
Okay, yeah, that was brother. That was Brother Tracy. Yep.
Yeah.
And I want to contact him too. I'm actually interested in that in that as well. So yeah, I definitely had the note to contact the brother.
Whatever, I should be.
I'm sorry.
So you can email me or whatever way you choose to get in touch with me.
Okay, brother. All right, just text me. Just text me the email or whatever. Text me your email or behind the scenes. Do you have my number?
Well, I'm just calling from one number. You got the same number?
From the Black Wallace Matter. Okay, I'll text you. I'll text you, and then you just give me the email, and then we'll liaise
right.
with the brother behind.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this town hall meeting. Sister Camila.
Yes.
How you doing, sister? All right.
I'm tired.
You are a member. You become a new member, but this was your first town hall, so I guess we will start with you. We are going to end things, but I definitely want to get feedback from those who that this was their first call. So, sister, you can start. What do you think about the town hall meeting?
I think it's powerful. I'm really moved. I'm excited to do even more. Look at all different topics that we talked about. I mean, this is incredible. And we all have different passions and things that we care about that affect our community. And we also have different resources and different skill sets. So, I mean, let's put it together. Anybody who's interested in the ambassador program, contact Brother Lou, or he can share my information with you. I want to work with you all in whatever capacity I can. And I'm excited.
Thank you so much, sister. Okay, so Brother Jalen, can I get some feedback from you, brother? Brother Jalen?
I have my mic muted on my end.
Okay.
Yeah, this was extremely powerful, and I saw the video back a couple of weeks ago. I was able to watch the blueprint, and this is the first time I was able to sit down and actually attend one of the meetings. So glad to hear a lot of like-minded people and, you know, seeing where everyone takes this, and I'm definitely going to become a full member.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. All right. Brother Langston, you are a new member. Brother Langston, can we get some feedback from you? This is your first town hall as well. Hello, Brother Langston? Okay, I believe he has his phone muted. Let's see here. Brother Mike, I believe Brother Mike's been here before. Brother Mike, you've been here before, right?
Can you hear me?
Yes, brother.
Hello?
You've been here before, right, brother?
Yes, I have. I've been on one conference call. I missed last week. Got another engagement, but I really appreciate your vision. Appreciate your passion and trying to throw it together. And I look forward to seeing this thing grow. You know.
Okay, excellent, brother. All right, thank you, Sister Chi Chi. Hold on, can we get some feedback from you, sister?
Hello.
Yes.
This conference call is very informative to me. And I feel like it's a great thing I could be a part of because, I feel like I'm the youngest here. Like, I'm about to enter college, and, I can also, spread the word for my sons and everything else.
Okay. Thank you so much for your feedback, sister. Brother Tracy, can we get some feedback from you, Brother Tracy?
Yeah, it's very enlightening. I'm very interested in see what comes of this organization. I'm looking forward to doing some research and probably hopefully become a member. And though whatever our assets can be used to help push your agenda forward. So, yeah, I'm looking into learning more about the organization. But it seemed like it's a good strategy so far. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brother Tracy and Brother Eric. Brother Eric, can we get some feedback from you, brother?
Yeah, cool. No, thanks, Luke, for the email. I've been on a call for an hour and 30 minutes now, and I'm from Chicago. And I'm really excited, man. And the ambassador thing sounds good. I don't know if I'm able to be an ambassador, but anybody appointed here in Chicago, I would be willing, to work with them. Me myself, I'm a people person. And I heard you talk about people looking for a vehicle. Now, I go to barbershop, I go to the lakefront, I go to the car wash, and I put my phone down and I have conversations with people about the problems in the black community. And what have I noticed that people is ready. Young people, older people, everybody is ready and everybody is spreading love. Because that's what I do. I spread the love. Not only do I spread it, I talk about it. That's just me. I'm just that type of person. I'm with the love. I spread the love for my people. But also, I'm in a car club called Change the Lane. And we have 14 chapters in Atlanta, Chicago, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina. And we do community service, giving back to the community, giving back to our kids, giving back to the homeless. So I'm not only do I talk about it, I'm also about it, but I don't want to take up too much time, man. I'm down for the calls. I like what I hear, man. I'm just ready, man, and I'm bumping into a lot of people that's ready.
Right. So, brother, you just actually brought up something that I did not even think about. So for everyone on the call, right, most of us in our cities and towns, we do know about these car clubs and these bike clubs and things like that. That also would be an excellent outreach. And many of those clubs already have clubhouses. I'm glad you mentioned that. Sister Camila, I have your phone muted, but sister, add that to the notes. Those, we definitely need to target them because they have a bunch of those in New York. I don't know about every other place out there. I know they got them in Atlanta and South Carolina and North Carolina, stuff like that.
Yep.
And they would be great. They would be great ambassadors. They would be great people to liaise with. And many of them, they're upwardly mobile. They have jobs, and they are, and you know, some of the people that I know, they are pillars of their community. Thank you so much for that, brother. Thank you so much.
If you
find out more about us, go to the website, check out the blueprint. If it resonates with you, brother, you know, become a member and then spread the word. You know, someone, when you meet anyone that's out there and they're interested, tell them, hey, check this out, you know. And, you know, if you signed up, I actually provided a link to you, so you would be able to share that link.
Okay, cool, cause I want to do that.
All right, thank you.
I want to spread
the
word.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that, brother. Brothers and sisters, I believe that was everyone. Have Brother Jalen, Brother Tracy, Brother Christopher T. Did we get feedback from you, Brother Chris? Brother Chris, did you provide feedback already? I believe his phone is muted. And we have one final caller on, but this concludes this call, brothers and sisters. I want to thank everyone for coming on this town hall meeting. Let me clear the Q&A. And now everyone, mute. And good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Brother Lou. All right, Brother Lou. Camille.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.